Hey guys, welcome to The Pursuit of Wellness, a show about the journey of wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'll be your host throughout this journey. Being fit and becoming a healthy individual is an ongoing process, and I treat this as a journey for myself as well. A few years ago, I co-founded FitNut, a wellness platform where people could find exciting and informative content on fitness, nutrition, and healthy living. By chatting with experts and other enthusiasts in this space, I aim to learn a lot myself, and hopefully you guys will too. If you're listening to this, you're either thinking about or have started your wellness journey already. Or maybe you're just curious about how to get fitter and healthier, whether it's physically or mentally. Welcome. Come be a part of this community that we're trying to build. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with guests and listeners and discuss their journeys as well. We also chat about each episode and share stories that can help you redefine your life and achieve your fitness goals. You can also find us on Twitter at TPOW Podcast. This is a Muncha Media production. You can find out more on munchamedia.com. In this episode, we're chatting with Tahira Kocher, a Delhi-based ex-actor and model who has now become a certified nutritionist and is working towards becoming an Ayurvedic practitioner. Let's jump right in, guys. Hi, Tahira.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me. Excited to have this chat with you.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you could make time for us. So we've already given our listeners a small brief about you in terms of, you know, what your background is and where you're at right now. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words?
Okay, so I'm Tahira Kocher, as you've already introduced me. But I happen to be a certified nutritionist now. I was in the glamour industry for about 10 years. I started working when I was 18 years old in Delhi, started modeling. Initially, just a couple of editorials, a couple of photo shoots, started off a little slow here. Then was selected for the Femina Miss India pageant in about 2010. From there on, started getting a lot of movie offers. Moved to Bombay, lived there for 5 years. It was a great experience. Shot a movie myself and now back in Delhi.
All right. So how does it feel to be back in Delhi?
Well, mixed feelings. I think Bombay as a city really grows on you. Initially, when I went there, I was miserable because I had no one. I didn't know anybody from Bombay. But it actually, everybody told me, they're like, you live here 6 months and you won't want to go back. And that's exactly what happened. But always good to be back home also. This is home, my friends, my family, grown up here, schooled here. So it's great.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you back as well. So tell us a little bit about, you know, where the nutrition bit started. You mentioned that you got a certification recently.
Right.
Where did the nutrition, you know, as a career start for you?
So what happened was, when I had to come back to Delhi, I think it was time to plan B in terms of work, because the modeling industry, there's a lot more work, and of course acting, a lot more work in Bombay. Even if you aren't shooting every day, the interviews, there are auditions, there's a lot of work that's going on behind the scenes. You could be shooting for a TV commercial, etc. But coming back here, there was a bit of a lull. You know, there are months where possibly there are fashion weeks, etc. You're working a lot. But there are months where there's nothing happening. So I thought to myself, I said, you know, now it's time you decide plan B. And it had to be something that wasn't short-lived, of course. But it's also tough after 10 years of being in A industry to suddenly decide to do something completely different. So I did give myself like about 6 months. I took those 6 months off. I was relaxed. I said, you know, let me not put that pressure and suddenly decide. But what started happening was, I realized my first half of my day was really going into telling my girls what to eat, what to wear, what to go out, how to dress for a certain event, what to eat to look a certain way at that certain event. So I said, you know, why not tap into that knowledge a little further? Like, I've gone through it practically, but why not get the theoretical knowledge? And that's when I decided that I should do this course in dietetics, health and nutrition, and then eventually become a nutritionist.
So you almost took the opposite timeline that people usually take.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I first practiced and then I started preaching.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So you're essentially kind of, you know, using everything that you've learned in the last 10 years and then obviously getting a theoretical part of it right as well and
absolutely
applying it for your clients.
The practical knowledge happens, the things that you learn in Miss India, you're there for 40 days. It is very tough. The industry seems very glamorous from the outside, but you have to eat a certain way. There's a lot of stuff that you have to restrict. It's not only that you need to look lean and lanky, you also need to have those energy levels that can make you shoot for about 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours. There are no timings, there are night schedules. So we need to eat well, be healthy, look a certain way and have those energy levels. That's what's most important.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds like it's tough, plus requires a lot of commitment, which, you know, being healthy in general does require a lot
of commitment.
Absolutely. Right. So tell us a little bit about what a normal day now looks like for you. You know, as a nutritionist, helping people with their diets and their healthy lifestyle, you know, how does your day go around?
So, well, I now, of course, I feel if I'm a nutritionist myself, I should look a certain way so that at least I inspire people. And I mean, it's only normal. If I would go to a skin doctor, I'd first check out her skin and be like, how is she? Yeah. Right. So I wake up and I'm very into home remedies. I feel like whatever you can do in your kitchen, you don't need to go get those extra pills, waste that kind of money. So I start my day with something called a methi dana pani. It's my favorite go-to drink.
We have that at home as well.
Yeah. So, it's 1 teaspoon of methi dana soaked overnight. For girls, it's great for hormonal imbalance. It's great for water retention. It's for everybody. It's great for like insulin resistance, diabetes, etc. So my day starts with that. Post which there are 5 soaked almonds, 2 walnuts. And I try and wake up at about 9 a.m. I have this. Then my biggest weakness is my cold coffee mug. And I don't stall the sugar. I go for it. I like a strong coffee. I add my sugar, regular sugar, no stevia, no sugar-free, yeah. Nothing. And then is my workout time. So now I'm doing a combination of kickboxing, Pilates, yoga, and functional training. And it's great because I don't get stuck with one pattern. I don't get bored. Yeah. My body doesn't plateau with something.
You keep it interesting.
So it's great.
Yeah.
Post that, I have my lunch, which is possibly sometimes brown rice, a dal, a seasonal sabzi, and a little bit of salad.
Okay.
Portion, I'm not too much into portion control. I like to listen to my body. If there are days where I'm more hungry than usual, I go for it.
Yeah.
If not, then of course.
That could also depend on your workout as well,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what happens. Post that, I go for my classes. So I have my lunch, and from about 2 to 6 is when my classes were initially. I'm done with my diet, health and nutrition, but now I'm doing a course in Ayurveda as well.
Oh, awesome.
So 2 to 6 is when my theory classes happen. Yeah. And post that, I incorporate my clients. So I'm not taking on too many clients right now because I want to cater from a full cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then is when I cater to my clients. So from about 6 p.m. to 9 is when clients come and see me, but I'm available to them on the phone, of course, everything as well. Through the day. Yeah. Yeah. And my morning does not kickstart without their weighing machine photos. So, yeah.
So it is, would you say that, you know, in the kind of clientele you have, and, you know, we've kind of talked about this on other episodes, you know, what is the motivation for people to want to get fit and, or, you know, lead a healthy lifestyle? And most people say 9 times out of 10, it is to lose weight. So do you see that as a trend with at least the clients that you have as well?
See, definitely. A lot of people, I mean, I think 80% of the clients do come for weight loss.
Yeah.
And I think we have so much exposure now to fit bodies. We do see a lot of pictures, videos, a lot of people training. So you want to be there. You know, the awareness now is a lot more than it was earlier. So 80% of the clients do come because of weight loss. But then there are also clients who have had who've come for health reasons. Somebody's blood reports were haywire, you know, liver functioning was haywire. Thankfully, after 2 months, their reports drastically changed. A lady who was menopausing was going through a lot of trouble. So for her, of course, weight loss was one. But there were a lot of other issues that she needed to take care of. So which is why she came.
Yeah. And I mean, in general, if somebody is, you know, overweight according to their, you know, body shape, there will probably be a lot more problems than just weight.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, a lot of other tertiary issues come up when you're overweight.
See, weight, I think, and we all know now, isn't only the superficial bit. It's not about looking good or looking slim or getting into that bikini.
Yeah.
There's a lot more. It's your energy levels, as I said earlier. It's how your organs function. And a lot of it, I mean, you know, even a lot of ladies now who are possibly 50, 55 are having a lot of trouble in their knees and back and things like that.
Yeah.
But that's only because of their excess weight and nothing else.
Just to touch upon this weight loss topic that we're in general talking about, besides, you know, the healthy eating, the nutrition bit, what is the importance of exercise in that regime as well? You yourself mentioned that, you know, the first thing you do after your morning breakfast routine and all is to do your own workout, right? A lot of people think that, okay, I'm just going to, you know, follow a diet. I'm going to cut out all the carbs and that should be good enough for me to like kind of lose the weight that I want to lose. So how important is it for them to actually incorporate exercise there?
What I believe is that food is 70% of the battle. You can't work out a bad diet. You really can't. You can't get rid of all the junk you've eaten. You can't possibly have pizza, chole bature, butter chicken, this, that, and work out like a mad person and think that that's all going to go away. It's not. So I definitely do feel the diet is 70% of the battle. But I also do feel that 30% of that exercise is very, very important, right? Especially with our age group, I feel there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of stress that takes place because of various reasons. A lot of elders do like to believe that our generation is not that inclined to work. They don't know how to work.
Completely false.
Jaise hum kaam karte the, you don't work that way. But I'd like to disagree. I think the fire in our belly is very, very strong, and to prove ourselves and to want to work. So I think the stress levels and the cortisol that is released, you know, in our bodies, that's our stress hormone, can only be combated through exercise, right? Diet is not going to take care of that. And you can be on the best of best diets. You can starve yourself. You can do detox diets, fad diets.
Yeah.
You can starve yourself.
Yeah.
But if your sleep and if your stress is not taken care of, there's no chance you're losing weight.
I'm glad you touched upon the fad bit. You know, how is it possible, say, for some of our listeners to be able to differentiate between, you know, what a fad weight loss strategy or a genuine weight loss strategy might be? You know, there's so much information that's out there constantly, blog posts, you know, now hopefully podcasts also, commercials, all sorts of information that is constantly, you know, hitting us with different types of strategies, different types of, you know, medication to lose weight. You know, how can someone figure out what is legitimate and what's not?
So guys, losing weight is not rocket science. It's just that there's so many theories now that you're confused, right? So coming back to your question, a fad diet is basically something that is a quick fix, you know?
Shortcut
method. And it's not going to last long. It's not something that's going to last forever. It's the weight that you lose is going to come back very quick. So a fad diet is something, for instance, a banana milk diet. Okay, there's a day where you only eat 6 bananas in the day and have 3 cups of milk. That is a fad diet. That's going to leave you hungry. That's going to leave you cranky. That's going to leave you irritable. That's going to leave you with no energy. But yes, that can give you up to 2 kgs loss in one day, right? So if you want to get into that bikini, you want to get into that dress, you want to do it SOS for one event, okay. But it's definitely not a long-term sustainable diet. Whilst a long-term sustainable diet, something that's going to stay, something that's not going to bounce back if you go for a holiday, is something that is done through your routine. You work around your routine. What you're already eating, one can't go drastic from that, right? So they're literally those little tweaks that make the big difference. You know, you don't need to starve yourself. That's not a sustainable diet.
Yeah.
In fact, small, frequent meals is key. Whether it's a therapeutic diet, whether it's for weight loss, every chapter I remember when I was studying diet, health and nutrition, I remember small, frequent meals so clearly in every topic. It could be for a cancer patient, for somebody who has IBS, for somebody who just purely wants to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the difference between a fad. A fad diet is going to be quick, easy, give you those quick results, but it's also going to bounce back twice the amount, right? Your sustainable diet might take a little longer, but it's for keeps.
Yeah, the effects of that are much better.
And it'll have you feeling a lot better. Your energy levels, your mood, you'll be looking a lot better. You're not going to have sunken in dark circles, you know, looking horrible. You're going to have energy, look radiant and feel better.
Awesome. So kind of building upon that, you know, in terms of having, you know, a sustainable, more long-term strategy in terms of losing weight. And as you rightly said, it has to be something that's, you know, fixed around your current routine, right? What are some important nutrients that people, you know, absolutely need to have in their diet, whether it's for a weight loss thing or if it's to, you know, bring about energy that is kind of required for your day-to-day activities? What are those few things that somebody needs to absolutely consume on a day-to-day basis?
See, frankly, I don't think there's any shortcut to good health.
Yeah.
So there's no quick fix key. You have this and you'll be absolutely okay. It's really a combination of your micronutrients and macronutrients.
Yeah.
Your micronutrients are your vitamins and your minerals, right?
Yeah.
That's, of course, not required in large quantity. Your macronutrients, which we all know, are your proteins, carbs, and your fats. Now, the popular belief is that there's this new fad of ketogenic diets. Let's cut out the carbs. Let's lose up to 11 kgs in 1 month. And, you know, I'm feeling great. And that's absolute nonsense. At least I don't go by it. Every food group is there for a reason, right? Every food group has a primary role to play. You take out your carbs, there's something called a protein sparing effect, right? A protein sparing effect is when you take out your carbs, your protein is doing your job of your carbs. Now that's ridiculous. Your protein's job is growth, maintenance and repair. That's not going to happen if your carbs are not there.
Yeah.
So carbs are not your enemies, guys. There is no shortcut. Don't think I would take out one food group and I can compensate with something else. That doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, it's also a popular belief that, oh my God, I'm losing weight. How am I losing weight? I'm cutting out the carbs at night. Why? It's not required. I love my dal chawal at night. You know, there's absolutely no issue with it. So there is absolutely no shortcut. And I don't see the point in removing any food group from your diet whatsoever.
So it has to be holistic in nature.
Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome. So kind of jumping into some, you know, strategies that some of our listeners can implement in their life. We'll also talk a little bit about, you know, what you implement in your life currently after your learnings. But, you know, building on the important nutrients, what are some tips that you would suggest that people, you know, kind of implement in their life? We were talking before we started recording about, you know, keeping track of what you've been eating, right?
Right.
Like journaling,
right.
So that whether you're working with a nutritionist like yourself or right. you're kind of based on information, managing it yourself.
Right.
What is the importance of actually keeping track of what you've eaten?
See, that's very important because what tends to happen with us is we're all almost in a rat race. We're working, we're doing things, socializing, Instagram, this, that. We always have 100 things to do. So once you're documenting what you're eating, or if you're keeping a calorie count, and we have a lot of apps to do that now,
yeah.
subconsciously, you end up eating healthier, you
yeah.
know? You are going to think twice before picking up like a fried puri, or you're going to think twice before having like a stuffed cheese pizza crust,
yeah.
you know? You are going to think twice. So I think documenting it is very important. I personally do that. I have a daily diary where I literally wake up and I mark. Have you had your methi dana pani? You've had it. Have you had your almonds? Have you? And a day where I haven't, I literally put a little red cross on top. So it makes me feel like, okay, I haven't done this day very well.
Yeah.
You know, if I've had maybe an extra chocolate, an extra piece of cheese, whatever, you know, it's not like one doesn't indulge in that.
Yeah.
One must. But you have to know where to draw the line. And a lot of that comes from when you're documenting it yourself. You don't even need a nutritionist. You don't even need a dietitian. You know, once you have it all written, you're definitely more aware and definitely more conscious.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, then, you know, when you see results, you can actually look back and see what changes you've made, what you've been eating, how often you've been eating.
You are your own doctor.
Yeah.
You guys, you just listen to your body and that's half the battle won. You know, it's just that we are so into reading things online or saying that, okay, this has worked for so and so. And understand one thing, one plan does not work for everybody. Kabir, you can eat 1500 calories in a day and that could do you great. But it could be just the opposite for me, you know. So one plan doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's not say that, okay, one person has done this ketogenic diet. They've lost 11 kgs.
Too, yeah.
Let's try it for myself. No, my liver is going to go for a toss. My skin is going to go for a toss. I'm possibly going to become gluten intolerant. What's the point?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up about the gluten tolerance bit, right? A lot of people in India, or at least, you know, in the circle that I am, a lot of people talk about how they want to cut out gluten. And there's no legitimate reason except for a few people that I know that have conditions that, you know, kind of, you know, there's enough data out there that tells them that if they cut out gluten, it's actually good for their health and will help them. You know, what is the importance of gluten in a diet and why would somebody want to cut it out if they need to?
You know how we follow a trend? I'm from the fashion industry, so I can speak this way. We go for a show. We see a superstar wearing a certain lehenga. We want to wear it. Why? Because she's worn it. She's got great reviews on it. She's looking fabulous. What makes me think that I'm going to look the same way?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It's a trend. It's in right now. You're intolerant. You're gluten intolerant. You're lactose intolerant. You're so-and-so intolerant. I mean, you're possibly intolerant of everything. People come to me, I'm vegan. Why? Because I'm intolerant of everything else. Who's told you that? That's nonsense. So, you know, it's, I'm telling you, half the battle is in the mind. Once you get this out of your mind that you're intolerant of any of this stuff, you're not intolerant. You know, you have been having these things. And as Indians, we've been having roti, paranthas, ghee, milk since we were born.
Yeah.
You know, since we were very, very young. So I don't know where this intolerant theory has come up from. I think it's just you go ahead and you follow a trend and that's what it is.
Just to kind of counter that, you know, there are, I know, a lot of people that have, for example, suffered, you know, small things in their life, whether it's, you know, a specific stomach issue or a certain issue with their skin. And it's not always been equated to having, say, lactose included in their diet or gluten included in their diet. But eventually they've, you know, met with enough doctors and, you know, through maybe trial and error, cut out lactose or cut out gluten and actually seen a change in them. So sure. There is definitely some data that suggests that these things can have some kind of allergens to particular people, right?
100%. See, if you have an intolerance, then you must, of course, not consume these things. If you do have a certain ailment, God forbid, or a disease that has come up now that requires you to cut it out, then by all means.
Yeah.
But don't psych yourself into the fact. Why do you want to cut your food options when you can have a lot more, is all I'm saying.
And how does, you know, in your opinion, how could somebody kind of go about figuring out if they are allergic, not specifically to, say, lactose or gluten, but any kind of food group or any kind of, you know, nutrient that they might be consuming that might have ill effects?
See, it's the basics. You're bound to feel extremely uncomfortable after you eat what you do. IBS is going to take place when you've had something that's not suiting your body. That's the first sign. You're going to feel gassy. You're going to feel, you know, nauseous. That's another thing. If you see, of course, eruptions, as you said, on your skin, or you see, you know, you feel things. So that's what the key is, to listen to your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome. So, you know, we've talked a lot about listening to your own body and kind of being able to, you know, obviously be informed and kind of implement that. In a place like India, you know, how easy is it for people to kind of eat clean and have access to health food? There's a lot of chit-chat about, you know, eating healthy is expensive, it's difficult, I'm not able to find the right foods. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
So in all honesty, I don't think it's very healthy to source in India. With all due respect, there are a lot of colors, there are a lot of chemicals, there are a lot of pesticides, a lot of injectants in our food, our fruits, our vegetables, and our meat. So it's not very, very healthy, unfortunately, to eat in India per se. But I feel what is in your control, at least take that into control. We can't crib about where we live. We can't crib about what we get. But at least we can handle what is in our, you know, hands. So sterilizing your fruits and vegetables, your kitchen hygiene, that is something that's taken for granted. You can go to the most expensive supermarket and buy your fruits and vegetables. They can be sealed in a fancy manner. They can cost you double the amount. But when you're not storing them in a certain manner in your own kitchen, it's not going to help. You take that salad, you eat it for lunch, you feel like, okay, it's done me good for now. I'll have it for dinner as well. You leave it open without being sealed in the fridge. It's not going to have the same nutrient value.
Yeah.
So at least whatever little we can take care of, we must. Whether it's sterilizing, whether it's storage.
Yeah.
And also, I think going to a trusted vendor and a trusted brand.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's not, you don't have to go the expensive route. You know, if you're not intolerant, why do you want to pay 1,000 rupees for almond butter?
Yeah.
Why do you want to pay double the amount for milk that you can consume in a much cheaper price?
Yeah.
So, guys, don't psych yourself that you need to be rich to be fit. You don't. You really don't. In fact, for Indians, I feel the closer you are to home, the closer to you are to things like ghee, chawal, dal, seasonal sabzis right now, lauki, tori, tinda. Come on, how much does that cost?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you're buying things seasonal, they aren't expensive.
Yeah. You know? Usually it'll be more expensive to find things that are not in season.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So,
awesome. So just kind of building on that, you know, in the kind of ecosystem of the Indian, you know, nutrition, what are some, you know, changes in habits that you think people need to kind of bring about? You know, from all the other episodes that we've talked to other professionals in the fitness and other spaces, it's always been that, you know, there are some key habits that people need to change. When it comes to nutrition and healthy living through, you know, good food and those kind of habits, what are some things that people need to change? I know you mentioned like portion control, sometimes small, frequent meals, right?
Yeah.
What are some other things that people should do?
So there are lots of things that I want to speak about on this topic per se. But the first thing I want to start by saying is that your nutrition and your health goes hand in hand with what's going on in your mind. That's a key point which a lot of people rule out. If you're not in the best mood, if you're not in a good state of mind, you're not going to be able to get great results with your diet or exercise or anything. I know everybody's very driven. Everybody wants to prove themselves, work very hard, but it's also very, very important to take that time out. It's also very important to have a parallel life beyond your work, right? it's also very important to invest in yourself. So like you touched on to this topic saying that, you know, a lot of people feel that, oh, it's expensive to get onto a nutrition plan, or it's expensive to like buy good groceries. They don't think twice before going out to fine dine. They don't think twice going out to a fancy place to watch a movie. Then why not invest in yourself that way, yeah. Right? So it has to start by investing in yourself. Your phone is your biggest killer today. Keep it away. Don't wake up and reach out to it immediately. I know we all have to cater to clients. We all have to cater to work. There could be an emergency. No, but if you are not able, how are you going to take care of anybody else, right? Cut the stress out. Burn out your stress. Burn out your anxiety. Eat well. Small frequent meals. Seasonal food. As much water as possible. If you don't like seasonal fruits, infused water is a great option for summers. And stick to your roots as much. You don't need to go drastic. You don't need to spend a lot of money on your groceries. You don't need to make that grocery bill mad expensive. Stick to the basics. And nothing like home-cooked food. I know we all have fast-paced lives. We want to go grab that quick meal. But nothing like home-cooked food. You know, even if you make a change of, if supposing five meals of yours are outside the house, if you cut it down to two, you'll see a reasonable difference.
And also some things that, you know, our listeners who are parents of young kids or slightly older also, what are some ways that they can instill good eating habits into their kids? Because as kids, there's always this tendency to want junk food.
Yeah.
And parents also want to, you know, reward their kids. They want to make them feel, you know, good about themselves, whatever the reason might be for giving them those things. You know, how can they instill good eating habits in their kids so they don't crave those things or request for those things that much?
See, I think I've used this term a lot through this, but I'm going to use it once again. Practice what you preach, yeah. Right? When your kids see you eating a certain way, they're going to think that's right, right? As a kid, you always want to do what your parents are doing. So inculcate those habits by doing it yourself.
Yourself, yeah.
First things first. Secondly, a child's palate is really set while the mother is carrying the child. So all pregnant mums, you have to be really careful. Yeah, you have to be really careful about what you're eating. Because, I mean, I'm sure like a lot of pregnant ladies have crazy cravings, this, that. I'm not saying curb them. You must. But also the intake of healthy food. You know, a lot of us run away from seasonal sabzis. We find them karwa. We run away from vegetable juices, things like that. But all of this is going to set your child's palate. So that's an important point. Thirdly, as you said, a lot of parents reward their children with food. I think that's the worst thing to do. To give them that greed key, okay, you study these amount of hours and then we'll order you so-and-so ice cream. Yeah. That, in all honesty, that used to happen with me. My mom used to tell me, she's like, okay, Tahira, you study these many hours, you have this exam tomorrow and we'll get you a hot chocolate fudge. Never let your food be a source of greed. Never let it be a reward. Because later on in life, it's going to be something that you're going to reach out to in stress. Stress eating is the worst thing that you can do to yourself. You're bound to be obese. We all face stress and we can't reach out to an ice cream or a pizza or a fried item because you're stressed.
Yeah.
And this starts from your toddler years. If you're rewarded with food, that's invariably going to happen even later in life.
Awesome. So I think that's great advice. You know, one is, you know, lead by example. Obviously, eat well when your kids are around or all the time in general.
Absolutely. And also this ordering in culture, yeah. You know, I think as much as you can make available even fun food, pizzas, pastas, Indian food, Mughlai, everything, as much as you can make it at home and give it to your children. I'm not saying deprive them of fun food.
Yeah.
By all means, but as much as you can cut out this ordering in culture, go out weekly, take them for a fun meal once a week. But why not give them that fun food at home?
At home as well. Yeah, awesome. And I mean, there's enough information to help you kind of cook those meals at home.
Absolutely.
As well.
You have a ragi-based pizza now. You can add a bunch of vegetables in your pasta. You can, you know, there's a lot that you can do.
Absolutely. So, you know, talking a little bit about obviously that bit in terms of, you know, doing it at home. Home for us being India, you know, what are your thoughts currently on the nutrition industry in India? You know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, spending a lot of time, money, effort in, you know, bringing on organic farming, that are kind of making sure that even a lot of protein companies that I know are trying to, you know, come out with completely natural products, non-synthetic products. You know, what is your opinion and, you know, view of what is currently happening in the space? Do you think there's, you know, if so, what are the pros and cons of what's currently going on?
So contrary to what I said earlier, I think as far as our nutrition supply is concerned in India right now, I think it's at its prime. because of the awareness, the demand is there and therefore the supply is there, right? Also, we have a lot of food that's infused with extra vitamins and minerals. For instance, our milk. We have infused vitamin A in our milk now. We do have curd that's slim dahi. We do have diabetic biscuits. So we're catering to every need, right? It's not like if you're diabetic, you can't enjoy a chocolate. So I think right now the awareness is there and therefore the supply is there. And also we have vegetables that are not even grown in India that we have access to. So because of the export-import, we are in a good space for sure.
Awesome. So looks good for at least the nutrition industry in India. And I completely agree. You know, the options are countless and there's so much action in the space, you know, all sorts of people getting involved, very, you know, ambitious, intelligent people getting involved and bringing out great products that will, you know, kind of be in the space. So kind of wrapping this up in terms of getting an understanding of, you know, your specialty and the space that you're in, I just want to kick off this particular section with, you know, what do you think is important when some of our listeners want to potentially, you know, take the service of somebody like you as a nutritionist? You know, what is important in terms of evaluating them? Like, we've spoken to trainers on this podcast and asked them, you know, how does somebody evaluate a fitness trainer, right? So what do you think is important when somebody approaches a nutritionist?
They don't need to evaluate anybody. Please send them to me.
Awesome.
No, but on a serious note, see, it should be somebody who genuinely makes you fall in love with the process of healthy eating. First things first, it shouldn't seem like a task. It shouldn't seem like, oh God, now I have to speak to my dietitian. I have to speak to my nutritionist. Yuck, what is she going to give me? No. Yeah. So I think your nutritionist should firstly go by what you're already eating. It shouldn't be very drastic or dramatic from what you're already doing. No one at this age or older or even a little bit younger wants to go out of their comfort zone. So somebody who is not pulling you out of your comfort zone, somebody who's letting you also have a social life. You can't sit at home, wrap up your dinner at 6 o'clock and not go out. Come on. I mean, you know. So someone who lets you have a parallel life, someone who makes you fall in love with the process, someone who's encouraging you, and someone who is not making you spend like crazy on your monthly groceries.
Great. So I think those are some great points in terms of being able to kind of decide, you know, who the best person is to kind of work with. You know, to build on that, tell us some of your most successful client stories, you know, some of the people that you feel you've been able to add maximum value to and have, you know, been able to kind of check that off in terms of enjoying the process with you, in terms of not being afraid of being on calls with you and getting on that daily update or whatever it might
be. So, you know, Kabir, it's an amazing feeling. Like when you can make a person happy, you know, and you know you have the ability to do that. It's amazing. So I'm going to start off with this lady. She was going through her menopause, I mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, that does a lot to a woman. Your hormones are haywire. Your mood is haywire. You're getting hot flushes. You're snappy. You're possibly hitting rock bottom. Yeah. And she's been a fairly fit lady all her life. And she suddenly put on 10 kgs. That does a lot to your self-confidence anyway. So she came to me saying that, you know, everybody in my family seems to not bother about me. No one wants to listen to me. Everyone thinks I'm a nag. I'm looking the certain way. I'm feeling horrible. I'm only fitting into like loose salwar kameezes. Please get me back into my pants. So we touched on this earlier. So here it was not only about weight loss. It was also about her mental sanity,
yeah.
You know. And that does go haywire, unfortunately, at that point in time. So that was a big challenge for me. And I was a little worried about how I'm going to take that up. And I always tell my clients, I'm like, you know, it's a two-way stream. My job ends at writing your plan. And of course, I'm a pushy person with my clients. I motivate them. I stalk them. I make sure they're doing it. But there's only that much that's in my control. I can't sit in your bedroom and see what you're eating.
Yeah, they have to come halfway.
Full marks to this lady. She lost all the weight that she put on and a little more, in fact. She lost about 11 kgs in 50 days in 5-0. And, you know, there's a lot of hue and cry about, okay, how much is healthy weight loss in a month?
Correct? In a time span, yeah.
In a time span. Now, with a case like this, when you've put on drastic weight in a short span, you can also lose it in a short span. So first point is you nip it in the bud. She realized that, okay, this has happened so fast. It's come on this fast. She acted upon it. She got in touch with her nutritionist and she followed her diet to the T.
Yeah.
She's in London holidaying right now, sending me pictures in her pants, enjoying herself to the T with her daughter, in the best of moods, looking even radiant than before, and in a great space. You know, the hot flushes have calmed down, the mood swings have calmed down. But full marks to the lady as well. She has not cribbed if I have given her a juicing day. She has not cribbed if I've given her a Karela Lauki juice. If I've given her something that is not that appetizing. She's really, really followed it to the
team. Awesome. That's kind of how we started this episode, right? That it requires dedication, commitment.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I cannot come and sit in your bedroom and say, okay, that now you eat this and now you don't eat this, you know? It's, you have to have that fire in the belly to work on yourself. And then somebody else can work with you. It goes hand in hand.
So just to kind of wrap this up on a fun note, what is, how do you cheat on your diet? Is there one particular meal or is there a day once in a week, 2 weeks that you kind of just say, today I'm just going to not really think about it?
I love my cheat meals. And thankfully right now I'm not in a space where I'm on a weight loss regime. I'm more on a maintenance and trying to build muscle. So I do definitely look forward to like my cheat meals. They're very drastic. They can go from pizza to chole bhature to butter chicken to absolutely anything. I'm a solid Panju girl, so I love my Indian food.
Yeah.
And so anything. But I also want to bring in a point here for those who are trying to lose their weight. Keep it to a cheat meal. You know, with us, I think we Indians, we get carried away.
Yeah.
You know,
it becomes a cheat
we're
day.
Like, achha, chalo, ab, we've had this in one day. Chalo, ab ye bhi kha lete hain. Don't do that. You're sticking to a Sunday lunch as a cheat meal. Stick to just that, you know. Don't go berserk. Don't say, okay, now I've had that ice cream or I've had that pizza. How does it make a difference if I have a little more? And what if I have butter chicken also at night? No. You know, it's going to make a difference. So I think stick to a cheat meal. Don't make a cheat day out of it when you're on a weight loss regime. If you're in a good space, if you feel you're already fit, then go ahead and do a cheat day.
Awesome. So that's great. I think that's great advice for people that, you know, you should stick to one cheat meal and not kind of go overboard.
Yeah,
with
but
it.
Having said that, you must cheat once in a week. You can't,
absolutely.
You can't get monotonous and you can't, like, please don't dwell into self-pity that I'm eating such sad food because you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's good for you. So it's...
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're going to, you reap what you sow. You're going to enjoy what you look like, what you feel like, your energy levels. I mean, no one else is going to enjoy it more than you.
Great, great. So... You know, thank you so much for all this great information and, you know, kind of shedding light on these things that people kind of dread sometimes. And, you know, and again, I think we covered some great ground here in terms of, you know, what people can do in their own life to do it, to kind of pursue a healthy life. So, you know, Tyra, thanks so much. How can some of our listeners get in touch with you, whether it's to kind of follow up on some of the things that you've spoken about or if they want to kind of, you know, become clients of yours, where are the places they can get in touch and follow your journey as well?
So I have my Instagram handle. It's by the name of Tahira Kocha also, so it's not very tough to find. Or they can always email me on Tahira Kocha, which is TAHIRAKOCHHAR@gmail.com.
Awesome. And for our listeners, all of that information will also be in our show notes. Thanks, Tyra, for making the time for us. And we wish you the best on your journey that has started out recently and hope to, you know, do this again sometime with
you. I'm sure. I hope so. And it was a really fun chat. I hope whatever I said can come into good use. And thank you for having me.
All right, guys. That was this episode for The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you guys get your podcasts. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness, Twitter as T-Power Podcast, and you can check out our website, manchamedia.com. This has been a Mancha Media production. Thanks, guys.